In the ancient world, it was customary before a king was coming into a province or city, someplace to visit, that he would send kind of his military engineers ahead of him to kind of make everything ready. What they would go do is they would look at the roads and the paths into the city, and they would reconstruct them if they'd fallen into disrepair, or they would get rid of any hills or fill in any valleys so that the king had as easy a time entering into the city as possible. So in this context, we see John the Baptist kind of fulfilling that same role. It's kind of the military engineer coming in and ushering in the coming of Christ, the king. His job is to go in and lower the mountains and to fill in the valleys so that we have a straight road for Christ to enter into our hearts and into our souls at Christmas. So John fulfills this great mission. That's why he's such a fascinating figure, especially in the early church and even for us today. His radical witness to God and to this prophetic mission makes John the Baptist the greatest of the prophets. Indeed, John the Baptist theologically represents the end of the Old Testament prophets. So the end of the Old Testament is fulfilled with John the Baptist, and Christ ushers in the new message, the New Testament, the new covenant between God and his people. And John is the precursor, the herald, fulfilling this great mission. Personally, for me, I remember this was reinforced in the seminary, the Josephinum, where I attended in Columbus, Ohio. They had over the Blessed Sacrament, they had in Latin this verse from John's Gospel describing the mission of John the Baptist. It says that John was not the light, but he came to give testimony to the light. And it was perfect for us in the seminary to remind us that we as priests are called to give testimony to Christ. Just as John the Baptist is called to give a testimony to Christ, that he is meant to prepare the way, to look at all those obstacles and help us clear them out so that the Lord has unhindered access to our hearts. And so Luke, to build this theme up, contrasts John the Baptist against all of these powerful major figures. So he mentions the Roman Emperor, Tiberius Caesar, then he mentions Pontius Pilate, the local governor, and then Herod, kind of the leader for that city. So it would be akin to naming the president, the governor, and then the mayor, and then you have the pope. Kind of the equivalent of that would be Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. So you have the religious leaders. Luke is juxtaposing all of these figures with John the Baptist and saying, look, all these people in all their glory and in all their wealth and splendor, the word of God was not there. Rather, it says the word of God came to John in the desert. The desert being a place of isolation, a place of sin, but also a place of purification. And so Luke is inviting us to reflect on the mission of John the Baptist just in this simple introduction to this great story. Luke, as he always does, as he does even earlier in his gospel at the birth of Christ, is giving us the historical context in which the mission takes place. And in doing so, he's highlighting this dynamic reality with God, that God appears not in the midst of the great, powerful, and splendorous things of this world, but in the simple things, in the smallest things, in those efforts internally within our hearts to purify and get rid of all those things, all those obstacles that keep us from Christ. And so the mission of John the Baptist, crying out to repent, to make straight the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths, is a mission for us to look at seriously within ourselves. What are those mountains in our life? The mountains symbolizing what sins or what obstacles or what bad habits have I cultivated that keep me from serving God with a full heart? And then the valleys, to fill in the valleys. What am I not doing for the Lord? Specifically, how is my relationship with God in prayer? Do I have a habit of prayer? That's a great valley to be filled in during Advent, during these last 2 weeks. To fill in that valley with building up that relationship with God so that he can come in unhindered at Christmas. That's the great mission that John the Baptist invites us to participate in. To lower the mountains and fill in the valleys. So what are those obstacles that keep us from loving the Lord with a pure and undivided heart? What keeps us from giving this radical witness that John the Baptist does? See, John the Baptist knew he was made for a singular purpose. His purpose was to announce the coming of Christ and then kind of go away. It's a very simple mission, but it's a powerful mission, and it's a necessary mission. And it seems rather insignificant in light of everything that we know about Christ and the apostles and Mary Magdalene and all these followers who have great and marvelous deeds recorded about them. John the Baptist doesn't have very many, other than he was baptizing and inviting people to repent, kind of building this preparation. But then he kind of disappears from the scene. And that's a temptation, I think, for many of us, to resist that idea that when the Lord calls us to a purpose, that then we disappear, that we fade away. We want all the glory. But like John the Baptist, we should give the glory to God. Our job is to point to Christ. He gets all the glory for the work that we do. That's heralding in the Messiah. That's being the precursor. That's lowering the mountains and filling the valleys so that Christ is the recipient and the beneficiary of our works so that he can dwell with us for eternity. And so during these last few weeks of Advent, this is a chance for us to study the figure of John the Baptist, to look at him and to look at it in light of our own life. How are we like John the Baptist? Do we tend to do things so that we can give glory to God, or do we tend to do things so that we might get noticed? But if we're noticed, then the Lord can't really shine through. Right? That beautiful cry of John the Baptist recorded elsewhere, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what it means to be the herald of the Messiah. That's what those Corps of Army engineers did for the king. They went, they did their job, and then they kind of disappeared so that the king could come in and everyone could celebrate that great arrival. John the Baptist is God's great spiritual engineer, rebuilding the roads, preparing the way so that we can encounter God more perfectly and more fully. So we give thanks to John the Baptist, and we pray that we might imitate him so that the glory can be done for Christ, so that the joy that God fights for us, that God comes to us to not abandon us, that can be the reality and that can be the thing in which we take great joy. But to do that, we must first prepare for his coming. We have to look at those obstacles. We have to be honest with ourselves, and that's hard because we might find something about ourselves that we don't like. But with God's grace and for the glory of our King, we confront those realities. We have to confront, turn, and face that sin and repent. Only then can that heart be moved so that Christ can find clear access to dwell within us and help draw that sin out of us like you draw poison from a wound. That's the great hope that John the Baptist points towards, and that same hope that we are called to share and to emulate. So let's pray that we might truly heed the Baptist's call to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths, to lower those mountains and fill in the valleys, to face those obstacles and those sins, those things that distract us from our relationship with God, those things, or even those people, perhaps, that are distracting us and pulling us away from God. Let's rebuild that road so the Lord has clear access, so that then our joy might be complete as John the Baptist's joy was complete when he fulfilled the mission and gave witness to Christ and said, "Here he is, behold the Lamb of God." That's what it means to follow John the Baptist. That's what Advent is all about, and that's how we find the fullness of joy at Christmas.